Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mississippi, surrounded by for one that ain't so
pretty. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Coming up later on,
Greg,
this
before
hour.
We go any further, can we give a shout out to the frontline folks? We haven't done that today, and the people that just keep things moving.
Absolutely.
We haven't done that today, and they're the people who are like they're being the glue that kind of just hold us together, Greg. And so many, be it people who are working in the hospitals, or people who are transporting things. We've heard from truck drivers before, obviously our law enforcement, fire and rescue, people who just keep our municipalities going, people who are working hard. I was, like I said, not this past week, but the week before, I was down into the city and saw how they're taking this time out with less traffic downtown each day to redo sidewalks and redo streets. And oh, by the way, Greg,
14th Street. Tell me, they're working.
No, we already 14th Street is good. It's
okay.
10th Street.
10th Street. That's it.
They're
10th Street.
They're working on 10th Street right now, man.
God bless y'all. Please,
they're working on it. You know what I mean? Hey,
we needed it. Please, like demolition time going down that street sometime over there, at Georgia Tech.
When I heard that, I said, "Hey, I got to let you know, man, that they are working on 10th Street, man, to get that thing smoothed out." So,
hey,
and it's a good time to do it. It's a good time to do it with fewer people traveling, you know?
Absolutely. And on the heels of what you just said, we're going to get him on next week or the week after. But I mentioned my friend Brandon, who is a fireman. And Brandon has got a number of balls in the air. He's a Renaissance man, does a number of things, handyman work. And he don't sit down and play some cards with him, because you'll lose your rent for the week. But one of the things that he told me as a fireman is actually worthy of bringing this up right now, because he wants to let folks know that hopefully you will never have to call for them to come to your house. But during this time of coronavirus, if you do need to call a fire department for whatever reason, or if it's a police department, one of the things that a lot of people are neglecting to tell them, either on the phone or when they arrive, is who in your home has either contracted virus, been near somebody who has, test. Just let them know the status of the people in your house before they get there.
That would be important.
And they're saying, he's told me, more times than I would believe, that a lot of people, once they get in the house, go, "Oh yeah, by the way, Granny over there, she had it 3 weeks ago, and didn't tell him. Or my son was next to somebody in school who caught it, so we had to isolate him for 14 days. He's okay now, but he was near." They need to know who's got it, who had it. Even if you've isolated them and they're feeling better now, let the people, let the officials who you have to, for whatever reason, come to your home. Just like if you were having some service done in your home, you got to get this repaired or that repaired. That's going on a lot more now. People are having that done. I had some folks come over and take care of things that we had at the house, and everybody was wearing gloves and masks. I stayed away from them, but we let them know ahead of time. So this is just another one of those little tips that he wanted me to make sure I passed on to everybody. And he's going to come back with some more, but also, and here's the payoff for us, he's got a sports history.
Brandon, sports history.
He played, not only did he walk on at your school, I say your school, but school you've done work with, Georgia State, okay, but he also, in high school, won a state championship.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to hear all about that. So he's got it. Like I said, he's a Renaissance man. So he got some things to talk about coming up with us. So we're going to try and get Brandon out here. And also, I'm going to try moving forward, too, to get some updates from the film industry. Everything's still pretty dormant. You know, I haven't talked about that at all. But there's been some movement. And I want to let you guys know about what's going on. Some of it theater, outdoor theater, if you will. So I'm going to, I said, letting you know about some things that are starting to happen moving forward here. But as we get back to things
Georgia State. Well, you mentioned Georgia State, and I got one other thing that happened this week. Some people may have noticed, some may have known. Dan Ellington, of course, graduated.
Exactly.
He was a quarterback last year, who led the team to that monumental win up at Tennessee and to the bowl game. And this week he was named assistant coach at Georgia State. So he's going to get to remain at Georgia State, be a part of the program, and start the next phase of his career there. And we're really happy for that young man, proud of him, and I know he's going to do a fantastic job coaching, just as he did as a player with Georgia State, when they get a chance to do some coaching and playing. But
exactly, going to be an offensive.
But just happy for him.
Offensive assistant coach. He knows there's nothing waiting for him at the next level, and he's going to start his coaching career right away. So I guess that's a smart thing to do.
And great thing he's able to do it where he went to school. I mean, now the places you have to go and start out at another level, at a smaller level, and come back. And people there at Georgia State feel strongly enough about him. The contribution, obviously, that he made, to the program, becoming that symbol of that guy who just, wouldn't give up. And goes up and getting a big win at Tennessee. And that was a thrill of a lifetime for him. He grew up outside of Memphis. So going to Knoxville and getting that win was fantastic. But just being a spirit of determination, playing the back half of the season with a torn ACL, but still willing himself to go out there and lead the team. Just a tremendous example in so many ways. So we're really happy and proud for Dan Ellington.
A couple of stories from college football from this past week. UCLA got themselves a new AD. Mahomes he talked to the Texas Tech graduates. And stuff top of my head, I didn't see it written down here. But
did he do the
to his
guns
brother.
Up thing they do?
I guess
do
so.
The little guns up thing they always do when the Texas Tech people do.
I guess so. I guess so. Virtually they're doing it. And Tua's brother left Alabama, man, going to, of all schools, Maryland.
Going to Maryland because the former Alabama coach, now the head coach there. People had him going in a lot of different directions, and people were really surprised. And one of the reasons they feel that Bryce Young, this young quarterback who's coming from California, a hot shot who's really looking like he's going to take the number two spot, so that's what they're wondering. They thought he was going to be the heir apparent. Apparently not. They thought he may be going to University of Miami since – that is where Big Brother is going to be. We had also heard he may have been in some conversations with folks at LSU. Obviously, they're looking for quarterback these days. But he's going to go to Maryland, and we'll see what happens up at Maryland. Maryland's one of them places. I still feel like them and Nebraska lost their identity by going to the Big Ten. But both of them, athletic departments, great traditions and whatnot. But you just don't see. And Maryland last season got off to a great start. But once they got to the Big Ten, started the schedule, it was the same as it's been every year since they joined that conference. But maybe he makes a difference. We'll see. But that's where he's going to be, up in Maryland.
Well, they're going to be in the Big Ten, so they're going to have a whole lot more resources. So, you talk about Nebraska
and
Maryland.
They're going to make a lot of money.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to have
a lot
more money to go out and get those recruits. So maybe right now it doesn't look that well, but maybe they'll resurface as a powerhouse down the road. But, I mean – listen, who's to know? But as we talk about college football, they're in another unique situation, different than the pros and even different from what we were talking about earlier with high school, because these guys have to worry about what's being done by the university and how you feel about universities making an overall blanket statement that, listen, we're closing things down, everything, for X amount of time. And that affects, the football season, it affects a number of athletic programs with under the umbrella. So where do they, how do they go about doing their business, hoping that they're going to come back when they know that the president could say, no, nothing's going on at this university, much like what happened over at Harvard?
Yeah, and then that's the thing. And you got to get that past the president. A lot of people think that playing this sport is all up to the athletic directors and the coaches at the school. And usually they are an entity, but they still have to answer to somebody. I think a lot of people miss that part. They still got to answer to the president of the university. He's got to answer to some board of trustees, a board of regents.
Right.
And that's before you get to your conference, which, you know, so, I mean, that's a lot of different steps you have to go to. And then if you're at a place like California, where the governor says certain things are not going to happen until the back end of July, and then we'll come back and talk to me, even as far as having students back on the college campuses. There are a lot of moving parts in this. You hope that eventually everybody comes to something they understand and are able to move together. But, Greg, I think we're setting us up for another shift in college athletics. And when I say that, we just talked about Nebraska and Maryland coming to the Big Ten. I think we're setting ourselves up to see another shift of schools realigning themselves with other conferences. And I think that's one of the things that's going to be the byproduct of this. Some schools may drop back down to another level, seeing it's too much for them to compete at the FCS, at the FBS level, to the FCS level, or maybe Division II. We saw a Division II football team drop football altogether a couple of weeks ago in Florida Tech, just gone. And so four colleges in the state of Georgia had them on their schedule. They're all got nine-game schedules now. They can't find another team to work in to give them that 10th game. Those are some of the things that we're starting to see. The main schools, the big schools, the Power Fives, obviously, if they just open the gate, not really open the gate, just turn the light on, turn the cameras on, there will be money to be made. But just like you said earlier, can you have college football without a crowd? Are you going to push a button to play the fight song when they score? Are you going to have canned crowd? No, you know, it'd be such a strange thing. And we're only talking about one season, but that would be strange to have to go through that and what that would look like and feel like. But it's hard to imagine going through a fall and not having it at all.
Well,
that's the question. You know,
it looks like that's going to be the case. But again, getting back to the conversations that are being held about when to do this, and we've seen the split just in everyday life about this group wants to reopen their businesses and we, you know, we got to reopen the country and so on and so forth. And then you have the other group that's like, no, this thing is very prevalent. And you go outside, you could catch it if you're not paying attention. And so we've dissected that. But now you have Network X chirping in the ear of Notre Dame and Alabama and UCLA, and you guys need to get back and running because we wrote you this size check and we would like to broadcast these games. And then you have the presidents are going, well, it's not healthy and we don't have enough testing and our facility. I mean, there's going to be a real division. And because of that division being in place, there's going to be some heated conversations about when to come back. And that's the unknown. And again, whether there's fans or not, and that's going to be a whole lot different than the pros. Yeah, there's a whole lot of moving parts on this, but I think the beginning of the moving forward comes with whatever negotiation happens between President X of this university and Network X, who has written a big check to that conference. Or is it the conference? Is it the conference commissioners that are going to make these decisions? You see what I mean? With being a part of them.
And they're going to, you would think that the commissioners of the Power Five conferences will all move in the same direction. I mean, they're at the top and they have the ways and means to do those things. They're the ones that stand to make a lot of cash. They're the ones who stand to lose a lot if they're not able to fill those stadiums up during the season. And so everybody's kind of looking to see which way they go. There are other people, other schools who really count on the crowd coming through the gate. You know, they don't have the lucrative television deals. And so what happens with those programs? Each and every one has a unique set of circumstances, but it's all the same thing. How do we make it safe? First of all, for the players and the people who have to be there, even if you play in front of a crowd. And if you're going to get a crowd, who gets to go? How many? And those are other things. Media, and then, I'm not even worried about media. You know, to go in a locker room interview somebody after a game?
No, but then the other thing is, Sam, is, and then, so what's the number of people who will test positive that will continue the sport? In other words, we saw what basketball did after one person tested positive. Yet Dana White threw on an event last week, and not only did a fighter, but his corner man and somebody else on their team caught it. So that's three. So what's the acceptable number of people testing positive from a particular sport or event that's going to shut it down for the year? If NASCAR runs today, and they will, if somebody tests positive from on the crew or somebody working at that event, will they shut it down? Or does it need to be more than one? These are all unanswered questions that we're going to see and then also debate about after it's happened. So again, uncharted territory.
We got somebody coming up that might have an answer for us, all right?
That's right. Adam Alexander is going to join us next at Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you on this Sunday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. Don't forget, wherever you are, it's time if you do still sheltered in place or limited in your coming out and about from your house, not in the usual places you are when you listen to our station, we're still available to you through the radio.com app for all of your smart devices and smart speakers. Are you ready to go racing? Are you ready to go racing?
Yes, sir.
You ready?
Yes, sir. I'm ready. Got me a pitch, ready to go.
We're going up to the track, Too Tough to Tame, man. It's been a while since we talked to this guy. Always enjoy talking with him and checking in with him. He joins us now from Darlington Speedway, getting ready for the race and the return of NASCAR. Adam Alexander from Fox Sports and FS1 joins us now on the waitfor.com hotline. Adam, how you doing?
How are you guys?
We're doing fine.
Great.
Doing fine.
Great to hear your voice. How have things been for you and during this time, you and family?
Well, we've done well. I mean, you know, we've been very fortunate that we've stayed healthy and that we all get along. So being in the same house and locked up hasn't had any negative impact on us, but certainly ready to get back to some form of normalcy with racing returning, and we've been doing some shows and that sort of thing from home and starting to graduate back to the studio. But I think today, with an actual live event that counts and putting a driver in the playoffs and all those things, this makes it feel real. And I think I am one of many that is looking forward to this afternoon with tremendous anticipation.
Well, let me ask you, Adam, you're there. The event's going to happen, first one. And any trepidation about being there and you know, the possibility of who knows what? You know, how did you feel when you got there to the track for the first time?
Well, I think that NASCAR and Fox have done all the right things and taken the proper stance on safety first. And so there are so many guidelines that are out there, as we all know, and I think Fox and NASCAR and the teams have followed those to a T. And so, you know, certainly you never know, but that's the case anytime, you're out and about. You don't know what's going to happen. And so I feel like that with the measures that are in place, everyone should stay safe, and hopefully that's the case. And that would be the worst thing that could happen, is that NASCAR comes back, you're the first major sports league that competes week to week on a national level to return, and then have some sort of an outbreak. And I think NASCAR is doing all the things that they need to avoid that happening. Hopefully that's the case, and I feel quite comfortable that will be the case as we move through today, this week, and the days and weeks ahead.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Adam Alexander from FS1 and Fox Sports NASCAR coverage back at Darlington today. Adam, when you heard the announcement of the way NASCAR was coming back, very unique, very ambitious, primetime races, a lot of NASCAR racing in the 3 Series over a pretty short period of time, what were your thoughts on that?
Well, we knew that's what would have to happen if they were going to get caught up and get all the races in this year. And that's been their goal from day one, is what can we do from a schedule perspective to ensure that we get all 36 Cup races in, including the All-Star race, or in addition to the All-Star race, I should say, all 33 Xfinity races and all 23 Gander Truck races. And they knew if that was going to happen, you are going to have to take a very aggressive approach, and that's what they've done. And I think when you look at the schedule they've laid out, 7 races in the next 11 days between Darlington and Charlotte among the 3 Series, and NASCAR did announce earlier this week a few other races to the calendar that will happen up through the end of June. So when you look at how packed the schedule is, they've got a real shot to get this thing back on track and get all the regular season races in on time, so that when we go back to Darlington Labor Day weekend, we are on schedule beginning the playoffs, and the playoffs, that 10-week run for Cup cars, will run as it was scheduled to when the schedule for 2020 came out about a year ago. So I feel like they are in a good place with the schedule based on what they put together, but certainly, you know, they will continue to be at the mercy of all the local communities, government officials, and what their feel is about having NASCAR come to town. And, you know, bidding that everyone continues to stay healthy and this process works as they anticipate it will.
Adam Alexander joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. In your own words, the importance of having Ryan Newman at this race today.
It's huge. And when you go back to the Daytona 500, and certainly that was the big headline, despite the fact that Denny Hamlin won back-to-back 500s. The big headline coming out of that season-opening race was the Ryan Newman crash. You know, the fears for his safety and his health. And I'll never forget, you know, 2 days removed from that, him walking from the hospital, holding his little girl's hands and just thinking what a surreal scene that was. That scene of him walking out of the hospital, almost as surreal as the scene surrounding his race car that you know, Monday evening at Daytona when he crashed. So that was a concerning time for everybody in NASCAR. And of course, he did not race in the three events out on the West Coast. And now to see him getting back and to know that he's, you know, he's got the championship waiver. Here's a guy that you just kind of start to root for, and for him to make his return at a place like Darlington. This is just his kind of track. Ryan's a throwback guy. Darlington certainly has a great history and heritage as one of the oldest speedways in NASCAR. And kind of to see those two worlds collide is pretty special. And I think there will be great anticipation watching Ryan today.
We are spending some time this morning on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Adam Alexander from FS1 and Fox Sports coverage of NASCAR. You can follow him. He is social at Adam1Alexander. Adam1Alexander. Okay, that's one of the stories today. There's so many today. You got Matt Kenseth back in the car because Kyle Larson has lost his ride. Also, you got the return of Jimmy Johnson's farewell tour. We've kind of forgotten about that. Oh, by the way. And this new thing they're doing, they go, so drop them off the hauler, line them up and race them, no qualifying. How do you like that?
Well, let's marry two of those storylines together, Sam. Let's take the Matt Kenseth story, hasn't driven a race car since November 2018, and put him in a car for the first time in a couple of years, and as you said, we're not going to practice, we're not going to qualify. That, to me, is the place to watch at the start of the race is Matt Kenseth, who will roll off 12th. And just how he handles those early laps. And, you know, Matt's a guy that's in great condition physically, and certainly when you look at his record over the years, I mean, he's so mentally strong and has a great ability to handle most any circumstance. But I've got to imagine this is about as nerve-wracking and anxious a time as he's ever faced in his career. So I think that's an amazing storyline that Matt's coming back under these circumstances with no seat time at all really to prepare him for what's in front of him later today. And I just think big picture what you said there. I mean, you know, drivers have their routine, their race day routine, and that's completely thrown off. Usually it's a race weekend, not a race day for these guys. You kind of graduate up to the green flag. And that's not what's happening this weekend. You show up on Sunday, you hang out in your motorhome, you get the okay to walk to the grid, you get in your race car, you go out and you race. And that is just such a unique circumstance for all of these guys. And it's going to be interesting to see who is able to handle that and adjust and who struggles with that. And I think there will be some carryover of the process to who is good on track, especially in these first couple of races.
Hey, Adam, talk about what it looks like right now in the garages and any conversations you've had with people on the crews as they accept their new normal.
Well, you know, all these teams have been put into pods, and they want to make sure and separate everyone into their own area to make sure that if there were to be someone test positive, that it's isolated, they can figure out where that is, and not have to completely shut down the operation. And so I think that's the one thing that NASCAR has done really well, is having the vision of not only putting us in a position to be able to come back, but once coming back, let's do it in a way that we are preventative. In the event something were to happen, we can isolate that and make sure it doesn't spread and completely force a shutdown of some kind. So I think that's what's unique. And, you know, because there are no fans at these racetracks, that allows you to spread everybody out and use the entire infield, as opposed to wedging everybody into one small garage area where you've got various teams rubbing elbows with one another and putting yourself in harm's way. So the look and feel is completely different than anything we've ever experienced. And the fact that there are no fans, which is obviously a negative. You never want to have a sporting event without fans. But because of that, it has opened the door for NASCAR to spread these teams out and try to ensure that everyone stays safe.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Adam Alexander, Fox Sports NASCAR coverage. You see him weeknights on FS1, Race Hub, and pleased to have him joining us now here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Adam, you talk about things that are doors that have been open. To me, a door that opened for NASCAR during this time period was iRacing. The fact that NASCAR was able to, more than any other sport, stay engaged with their fans with something that at least looked and felt like the regular competition, and was able to keep the drivers there in a different type of access. We were in those guys' homes, for crying out loud. But talk about that coming back to the track, and what, if any, benefit you think we may see in the short term or the long term from having that available and having used that eSport?
Well, I do think when you look at iRacing and you compare it to the other sports, this is as real as it gets outside of the competition itself. And that was a huge advantage for NASCAR, because you just can't replicate, you know, football, basketball, and baseball like you can racing when it comes to simulation. And I think the iRacing folks have done an unbelievable job of building their software package to make sure that when guys go out and race, it feels real. And all of these drivers have done a great job of partnering with various companies to get a rig that makes it feel like when they go racing that it's the real thing. And Fox was lucky enough to jump on board and kind of fill that void of no real racing and put iRacing on. And I think it was received very well by the fans. And likely the biggest advantage of all of that is the attraction of some new fans. It was estimated that over 1 million people watched those 7 iRacing events on Fox and FS1 that did not watch one of the 4 cup races earlier this year. So I think that's a real indicator of what kind of audience is out there, a younger audience, I'm guessing, that would not have been there if you hadn't gone the iRacing route. The one thing I am interested to see, there were some rivalries that were kind of built up, And you just don't know what carryover there will be. But there were some drivers that maybe didn't have a reputation one way or the other that now have a reputation. And will there be carryover on track today or in the coming weeks? I'm anxious to see that, because I wouldn't have anticipated that could come out of iRacing. But I do feel like that there are some drivers that have some animosity against others because of some of the things that happened when they were racing the last few weeks on the computer.
Yeah, and I'm seeing some names like Timmy Hill. I think he rolls out 38th today, so we will indeed be watching to see that. Adam, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Adam.
3:30 is the time today, Eastern. You guys will be at Darlington, and my goodness, we're looking forward to it. We've missed it. We can't wait to go racing today.
Guys, it's great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me on, and look forward to seeing what happens today on Fox.
Thank you, man.
All right. That's Adam Alexander at Darlington, and Greg, You know, he talked about the advantage of the e-sport, how that could help. But also there's so many backstories. And oh, by the way, Jimmy Johnson's retirement tour.
See, that's what I was going to get into. Again, yeah. It's like this is a microcosm of his whole career. This guy's one of the all-time greats. And when he decides to have his farewell tour, the season is cut short by this craziness. And it's going to be another, oh, yeah, you know, when it comes to Jimmy Johnson. Listen, this guy, somebody's got to have a dinner for this dude. I mean, just got to have some kind of dinner for this dude and just make sure he has his own time set aside to acknowledge what he's done. We're going to wrap things up next, give our thoughts on The Last Dance. Oh, it's going to be tough on Monday when this thing is over with. And also talk about some of the events that are not only NASCAR, but some of the other things that are taking place today. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Remember, you can check us out on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, not nine floors up in the Kia Studios, but in the virtual Kia Studios. So glad you've been with us on this Sunday morning and taking us with you wherever you may be going. If you're moving around the area, if you are coming out, entering out today, thanks for taking us with us. If your place of worship is having services today, some are doing outside, maybe in the parking lot, but I think most are still online. Well, thank you for having us with you on this Sunday morning as we get back to return of some sporting events. And we just enjoyed having Adam Alexander on to tell us all the stories going on with NASCAR. As you watch for that later on today, the first of seven races in 11 days. They're going to be on in prime time this week, Greg.
Yep.
Really taking advantage of being the first one back. It's one thing to come back and do it the way you normally do. And he said some of it's out of necessity, obviously. They want to get caught up for the time that they miss. But also gives them a chance to do some prime time midweek. And they have been talking about that as being something that might be good for NASCAR to do, is having some races during the week, not always waiting until Sunday, but maybe have some on weeknights. And we're going to get to find all those things out right now. It's a good time to experiment with that. Well, you got, I won't say you got a captive audience, but I mean, you're the biggest game in town right now, so why not?
All right. Hey, are you ready? You ready to do it again?
What's that?
One more 5-second one. Everybody, you can play at home. Been doing this throughout the show. Just a real quick one. I'm going to ask Sam a question. He has to name three things in 5 seconds. Are you ready?
All right.
All right. I need three engine parts. Name three engine parts. Go.
I don't know where do we even start with that. Three engine parts.
Like carburetor, you know, spark plug, things like that.
Carburetor, spark plug, fan belt.
Okay, well, it's too late. You got 5 seconds. I'm going to give you one more. All right, you ready? Name me three famous Henrys. Go.
Aaron, Ford, candy bar.
I'll give you that one. See, there you go. We're doing this throughout the show. But, yeah, it's one of those things that get you all tensed up there. Yeah, listen, when you think about what we're going to see today, you think about what went into making this happen. And then these guys are going to come back. What did he say? They're going to run a few this week, or is it a few more races at Darlington? And Adam talked about coming back over, was it Memorial Day? Labor Day.
And then they're going to Charlotte, you know, and they're going to race there. And, of course, we heard the announcement for Atlanta Motor Speedway. Atlanta's date will be the weekend of June 6th and 7th. And so we look forward to the coming. The thing of it is, will media even be allowed to go? I don't know if we'll even be allowed to go to the race at AMS. That's why we're waiting to see today what it looks like. And like you say, Greg, do we have any positive tests after this happens? What happens if you have that? Do you know, does that race crew have to go home? If you get two members of the pit crew to test, you know, that's all those are questions that are out there, and you hope it doesn't happen. And so you watch and you wait to see today.
Well, And I use the analogy of what the NBA did. But at the time the NBA shut it down after that first positive test, they didn't have what is in place now for a lot of the sports as they attempt to come back. But yet, what is the acceptable number? That's what I'm asking. NBA had one test positive, boom, we're shutting the whole thing down. But yet last week, UFC, there were three people who tested positive, a fighter, and then corner man and somebody else on the staff, they tested positive. So that's three. But yet Dana White hasn't slowed down and moving forward with upcoming events. So what will happen, as you said, with somebody possibly catching it in the garage, even though they've done their due diligence and spreading people out. Again, it's a wait and see. Instead of sitting here and speculating on what they should do or what's going to happen, let's just wait and see and then see how they react. Because everybody wants to get back up and running. And you talk about media being a part of these. They're all going to have TV crews because that's the whole point of going back. You know, they're going to televise them because the networks need to put some programming on, correct?
So that's true.
Yeah. So
that's
networks true. Are going to be there, or the television contract will be fulfilled for that particular event. My question is, if it's Atlanta Motor Speedway, we know Fox is going to be out there, or NBC, whoever is covering it at that time. But is local media going to be invited in?
That's my question. That's my next thing. I'm waiting to see today who actually gets to attend. I'm going to follow some guys on Twitter who are normally at races and see if they're there or if they're just watching at home. Yeah. And see how close they're able to get to it. That's another part of the equation. We talk about what we love to do with 92.9 The Game. We love to be at the games. We love to visit with the players and the coaches before the game. We love to be in locker rooms and get those thoughts and bring them back to our listeners after the game. I just think those things are going to be handled so differently right now. And just waiting to see how NASCAR handles it.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Remember, you can check us out on radio.com and all your devices, including smart speakers. Well, there's going to be a lot of people tomorrow, Sam, going through withdrawal. It'll be the end of The Last Dance, the longest-running, most successful Nike commercial ever. I mean, it is absolutely all about them. But this past week, there's been a couple people who have given their perspective on what we have been watching. Jack McMullen was one who joined us. Sam Smith was beat writer for the Bulls, and he's the one who wrote the book, The Jordan Rules. Jahi, I don't know if you have it ready, but I'm going to set you up here. And Sam, he came on this past week talking about that first season that they got the championship, which would have been 91, when they finally got past the Pistons, and Stan Smith came on with, I believe it was maybe Andy and Randy, or Dukes and Bell. Oh, it was John Chuckery. Thank you, Jahi. Came on with John Chuckery and talked about that season. Here's Sam Smith.
To look behind the curtain a little bit and give people a glimpse of what really goes on. I wasn't expecting that they would win a title then. They weren't expecting they would win a title. So it was just going to be, you know, like a season with the Atlanta Hawks, and except it turned out to be a season with the champion Bulls, who beat Magic and the Lakers, with Michael Jordan, who emerged as, you know, the premier figure in sports, and then walked into a bunch of gambling issues after that, and so it all exploded and took me by surprise at the time, frankly.
See, I disagree with him a little bit, Sam, because at least as a Chicagoan, we watched this thing build. We watched these guys get kicked around by the Celtics and then get kicked by the Pistons and finally made it over hump and felt good about them beating the Lakers because the Lakers were on their last leg. This was Magic's last NBA Finals, which I believe was his, at the time being, was his ninth, was it? His ninth NBA Finals. So we felt good about them winning that thing. But we've dissected the things that we've taken away from this Last Dance, these last 5 weeks. I want to ask you this, Sam.
Yeah.
Who would you like seeing moving forward to do what the Bulls did for that 98 season? What athletes last season would you have liked to see or would like them to give a crew the same access that Jordan and the Bulls did to that film crew and chronicle it?
You know what? And they probably did because he's dabbling in some media as well. It's probably like Derek Jeter and the Yankees, just all that they accomplished during this time. And I think because that's someone that their times kind of coincided a little bit. Jeter was a little bit behind him, but I remember I covered Jeter as a minor league player in North Carolina in the 90s. And just to see his climb and see what he meant to the Yankees, being that spirit type guy of the team. And I'm sure we've seen some things, but I have to think there have to be some things that were recorded or documented that we haven't seen or heard or read yet about the ending of his career. So as a player, I mean, he's moved into a different phase now, but maybe him.
I'm going to go so far off the beaten path, you aren't going to believe I'm going to bring this up, but I've thought about this. And the usual suspects, they're obvious to me. Like, and we do know that Kobe, by the way, he did give access to a film crew his last season with the Lakers. And when that's going to come out, what decade that comes out, but it is going to come out down the road. But the more I thought about it, you know who I'd like to have seen do what the Bulls did? Was the UCF team in Florida that went undefeated a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And the conversation that they had talking about, listen, we beat everybody in front of us, and then how they finished their season, yet knowing that they weren't going to get that national championship, and what was said amongst each other. That's the one I chose. I was like, man, I would love to, from week to week, hear what those guys were talking about and hear what the coaches are telling these players.
Yeah.
During that University of Central Florida season.
I'm pretty sure we'll probably get some retrospective on that. You know, probably, you know, it's been several years now, but maybe in a few more years they'll sit some of those guys down and get them to walk back through it. And it will be neat to get their perspective looking back on it. Now, we know how it was right at the end of it. They thought they were cheating. They thought they should have gotten a chance to. And they've claimed national championship.
Yeah, they have.
Posted it all over their place down in Orlando. But give them a few years to look back on it now. And especially if we see another group of five team achieve what they did. That's the thing we're waiting to see. If another team from that level of FCS or FBS teams go out and achieve what they did and be in that position to say, hey, let us in that playoff. Let us in there with those top teams. It may be a while before we see that again.
You know, one of the things that I was also thinking about watching last week's episode when they chronicled the whole Jordan getting into Steve Kerr and that fight that took place. And I forgot the other guy's name, Scott Burrell. But that thing that happened between him and Steve Kerr, where Steve Kerr stood up to Michael Jordan, punched him, and then he got popped. But it reminded you, if you follow Chicago sports, the famous battle that took place between the offense and the defense of the Chicago Bears. That 85 Bears team pretty much had the same thing. There wasn't one person, but that Bears defense, being led by Buddy Ryan, who would run through a wall, they were beating up that offense on a regular basis. Ditka and Buddy Ryan went at it. Why are you beating the hell out of my offense, man? We got to play. And he said, well, we're trying to toughen you up. But there was an exchange, a famous exchange, where the offensive line was getting sick of Steve McMichael and Hampton and those guys pushing him around. And Jimbo Covert, who was the center on that Bears offense, who was also the center on Pitt, and he was Dan Marino's center, said, you know, listen, you guys aren't going to take this anymore. And so he flipped Steve McMichael over, punched him in the face. McMichael had forgot he was an All-American wrestler, and that sort of brought the team together. And it was one of those things.
It takes something like that.
Exactly.
Like that, you know?
Anyway, Sam.
It makes the difference.
What you got going on today, man?
Hey, you know what I got going later on. I'm the MC. It's going for the GADA Awards, and that's at 6 o'clock this evening. But before that, I'm getting ready to go racing, man. 3:30, I'm ready. I can't wait to see this roll out up at Darlington. So that's what I got up today.
All right. Well, whatever you do, the rest of you, you guys have yourself a big day. Stay safe. A lot of great interviews coming up this week on 92.9 The Game. And if you happen to miss them, you go to our website, 92.9thegame.com. Check them out. And we'll be replaying some all next week. Mr. Crenshaw, have a great week.
You do as well. Have a great one. Stay safe. Keep them hands clean.
Yes, we do. You guys appreciate you putting up with us. And tell your friends that Sam and Greg are back 6 a.m. to 10 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And check us out on radio.com app and all your devices, including your smart speakers. And also, Jahi, have a great day, you and your family.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.